First of all, welcome to everyone. Welcome to our home, for those of you who've never been here before. Thanks for coming to the new location. It's only for this week, but thank you for coming. And of course, I want to dedicate this year, as always, to Rafael Eliezer Ben Rina Reisel and Yitzchak Moshe Ben Shoshana. So tonight's topic is a very important topic, and the topic is Emunas Chachamim. We know one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah in Pirkei Avos is Emunas Chachamim. And the author of the Sefer Mishnah Chacham says that really it should have been the first of the 48 ways to acquire Torah, because it's the entire foundation of Kabbalah Satorah, is having faith in the Mesorah and in our Chachamim. But and then he goes on to explain, for whatever various reasons, why it got bumped down the list. But really, he says it really should have been number one. So that's what I want to talk about: the importance of Amunas Chachamim, the importance of Kibud Chachamim, and not being Mavaza, of course, the Talmud Chacham, which is something that I think a lot of people struggle with in our times. And it's loosely related to this week's Parsha. It has a lot to do with Chanukah as well. So we will we'll try to put it together a little bit. The Rambam, on page 1, in the Rambam, in his commentary on Parachelek in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so the Rambam lists his principles of faith. And he says the eighth yisod that a person has to have is that every single word of Torah is true. And he goes on to describe, he says it doesn't matter whether you're talking about psukim that we would all think are a real standout psukim, amazing, famous psukim, versus psukim that are not so important. Let's just look what he says. He says, what is hayisod hashmini? Hayos haTorah min haShemayim, v'hu shenaamin ki kol haTorah hazos hanesuna yidei Moshe Rabbeinu alav haShalom shikula mipi haGvura. Every single word of the Torah is 100% from God. Not one bit of it was added by Moshe. And if you jump down to line 5 now, in the middle of the line, where he says, ve'ein hefresh bein bnei cham kushu mitzrayim v'sheim ishto mehit havel v'timna ha'isa pilegesh u'bein anochi Hashem lokecha u'shma Yisrael. He says there's no difference between lists of names of unholy people, of regular people who we can care less about in the Torah. A couple of those examples being in this week's Parsha, which is part of the reason I picked this topic, right? V'sheim ishto mehit havel v'timna ha'isa pilegesh alifa. These are psukim in this week's Parsha. Those words, which we would say, someone asks you, pick your favorite pasuk in the Torah. No one's going to pick v'timna. Right, that Timna was the Pilegesh of Alifas. You're going to pick Anochi Hashem Lokecha, you're going to pick Shema Yisrael. But he says it doesn't matter. Ki Akol Mipi Agvura, every word that Hashem said is equally deep and is equally true. And it's important for us to appreciate that. Now the truth is, and where we're going with this, is it's not only true by the Torah itself, but the same thing can be said about the words of the Chacham. Yerushalmi Maseches Megillah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught every single thing that any person would ever say. Moshe had the Mar Makomos for tonight's shir at Har Sinai. It was all from Torah Mesinai. So when we say something, when we think we have a chiddush, when we read a Gemara and Rava says X, Y, or Z, welcome. When Rava says X, Y, or Z, so it's not that Rava is the first person to ever say it. Right? Rava is just uncovering that which was already there. But Moshe already knew it at Har Sinai. And our job is to uncover it. So when we hear the words of our Chachamim, we have to approach it with the seriousness that this is literally Torah Mesinai. And the Stipler writes very strongly about this. The Stipler Gon, in the intro to his Sefer Chai Olam, he says the following. He says, "Ulizos miyisode ha'amuna b'Torah kadosha hu amunas chachamim." He says, as much as one has to believe in the Torah, you have to believe in the words of our sages, right? It's one of the yisode ha'amuna, one of the foundations of our faith, is to believe in the chachamim. And he says, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, "What's the definition of an apikoros? How do you define a person who's really, you know, against the Torah?" So the Gemara says, one definition is zeh ha'mavazet tamid chacham. You make fun of a Talmud Chacham, you're an apikoros. So Stifler explains, he says, why? Right? Okay, I'm not against the Torah per se. Why does it mean I reject the Torah? Because I reject the Talmud Chacham, I reject this guy's opinion. So he says, Mishum de be'emes hakol echad, it's all one and the same. Shamavaza tamidei chachamim, sheheim heim yisodei mekablei amunah. When you reject the source of our faith, it's complete kfir because the two are connected. As much as you believe in the transmitters of the faith, so then you believe in the faith. And if you reject the rabbis, then you rejected the Torah itself. Someone was just telling me that Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz is a very big rav, runs a kol in Eretz Yisrael. So one of his talmidim, who was also a big rav, said to Rabbi Berkowitz, "I want you to come to my son's bar mitzvah." Rabbi Berkowitz is very busy; he doesn't go to every person's bar mitzvah. He says, "I really want you to come," and he knew he wasn't really going to come. And you really wanted him to come. So he says to him, at one point he says, you know, do you think you're going to come? He says, I don't know, we'll have to see. He says, I know that means you're not coming. He says, but you have to come. I'm demanding that you come. He says, why are you demanding, you know, what's your svara? He says, I need my son to see on the day of his bar mitzvah that there's a mesorah. Right? You're my Rebbe. You are my link to Torah. If you don't show up, there's a break in the Mesorah. Right? I need you to be there. My son's bar mitzvah is dependent, and needless to say, he ended up finding the time to come in the end. But the point is, we have to believe that our chacham are our link to the Torah itself. And I'll just share with you one other lashon from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish writes in his letters in the first volume, letter 15. He says, and again, this might sound a little far-fetched to some of us. We may not have such faith that everything Chazal say is 100%. Listen to these words. He says, "Nirtam anachtu lishmo atalas safek b'direi Chazal." He says, "I tremble at the thought of those people who speak again, who place even a doubt in the words of Chazal, bein b'halacha, bein b'agada." Whether it's their halachic statements, whether it's agadata, stories of Chazal, every one of them, if you think any of them is just silly, or they had nothing better to fill the Gemara with, right? The majority of the Gemara is agadata. Right? He says, Kishmula shel gidu fachman al-tzani. He says, this is kfira, it's rejecting the Torah itself. If you say one story in the Gemara is silly, so you rejected the Torah itself. And again, it's an area that I think every Jew, at some point, you know, in some way, needs to strengthen themselves in this regard. There's a series of svarim called Meir Einei Yisrael, which is a partial biography / Torah from the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim tells a story that one time Rabbeinu Tam was sitting with his Talmidim, and he's telling them the Gemara in Eiruvin that says that a person who's malagleg al Talmidei Chachamim, who doubts Talmidei Chachamim, makes fun of things they say, the punishment the Gemara in Eiruvin says is that you're going to be judged to be sentenced to sit in boiling hot excrement, right? So needless to say, someone started laughing and making fun of that and saying, that's ridiculous, right? Dafka, the thing the Gemara says, if you do it, right? So there's a tradition of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says that Rabbeinu Tam glanced at him, he gave him like a nasty look, and he says immediately the guy started to smell terrible, so much so that he had to run out of, had to leave the shir, and eventually, and the smell stayed with him, he had to, you know, flee from people. He couldn't even stay in the town. So, you know, so these things are very serious in Yanim and requires a lot of thought and a lot of sensitivity. Okay, let's turn to page 2. What gives the Chachamim, you know, what gives us such faith in our Chachamim? Why do we view them as Torah itself? So the answer is, you know, in many regards, they have the ability to create Torah. No less so than the Torah that we were given by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chassam Sofer in his parashah on Pirkei Avos wants to explain why is it called Pirkei Avos. I may have said this once in the past before in other shirim. Why is Pirkei Avos called Pirkei Avos? So he says, "Ulfi anias daiti," by the arrow, "kol hashas heim toldos me Torah shebichsav." Most of the things that we see, that we encounter, when Rava says something, when Abaya says something, so it's a tolda, it's a byproduct of what? Of the Torah shebichsav. Shotziu chazal mimidos shatona d'dreshes. Hashem gave us certain principles to uncover things that are written in the Torah, and Chazal used those principles to uncover those things. Ogedarim v'siyagim lemitzos shema avos. But it's all toldos, it's all secondary, right, revelations of that which is already built into built into the Torah. Udivrei Chazal told us, "Achai mesechtahim avos." You come to Pirkei Avos, and Shammai says, "Greet everyone with a smiling face." Right? So who's the source? So he's the avos. Shammai is the source. Right? These are things that the Chum created, and it has the level of Torah. And that's why Rav Avraham Bartanura says, "Why do we start the Torah with what Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai? Why do we start Pirkei Avos with Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai?" Right? What do you need to start with that for? You're going to tell me all these nice ideas. So he says that's exactly the point. You need to recognize that these nice ideas, so to speak, that the rabbis have, are just as chashuv as Torah Misinai. They are the source. This famous story I must have also told in the past, right, with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was very anti the whole Shirat Lumi, you know, option for girls in Israel. And there were many other rabbis who felt that, okay, you don't want to say, you know, girls should be fighting on the front lines, I understand, but Shirat Lumi, to do something, some type of national service, it's not the worst thing in the world. So the Chazon Ish said, you know, absolutely not. It was one of the things that the Chazon Ish was crazy. And the Chazon Ish didn't have his name on every poster. You know, he was obviously a Haredi Rav. And he was obviously the ultimate embodiment of Torah. But he wasn't, you know, always so out. He was very outspoken about this issue. So a couple of Mizrahi rabbis came to him. They said, you know, Kvod Harav, we stayed up the entire night last night, going through the entire four volumes of the Shulchan Aruch to try to find where is the source that Shirat Lumi is Aser, right? Where's the halacha? Where's the source for this? So the Chazon Ish pointed to his chest, right? Pointed to his heart, he says, here's the source. You want to see the source? I'll show you the source. Right? I am the source. That's what the Chassam Sofer is saying. Our avos, our Talmidei Chachamim are the avos. They are the source. And we have to accept them as, you know, as much as we accept the Torah itself. Okay, let's connect to Chanukah a little bit. Because the whole concept of Chanukah being the ultimate Torah Shabbat Peh holiday, the ultimate Durabanan holiday, means that it has a lot to do with us respecting Talmidei Chachamim, respecting the Rabbanan and their ability to create things. Right? The Gemara wants to know, the Gemara in Shabbos wants to know, you can see in the Chiddush Yerim on page 3, on the left-hand side, I'll just give you the background, the Gemara in Shabbos wants to know, what's the source that you can say, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah V'tzivanu on a mitzvah Durabanan? Right? Hashem, you commanded us to keep a mitzvah derabanan. What's the source? So the Gemara gives a couple options. But why is it that the Gemara specifically asked that question? How do you know you can make a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan? Why does the Gemara ask that by Ner Chanukah? Why doesn't it ask it by other mitzvahs derabanan? So this is what the Chiddush Harim, the first Gemara Rebbe, talks about in his Chiddush Harim al Torah. Okay, on the left-hand side on page 3. V'heichan sivanu l'chora lama ina gemara makshe al megillah or al netilas yadayim heichan sivanu. Why does the gemara wait to Ner Chanukah to ask the question, right, where are we commanded? Why not ask it by Megillah? By the Megillah doesn't say, where's the source they make a bracha on the Megillah? Where's the source they make a bracha on the netilas yadayim? So says the Chiddush Harim, V'yesh lomer dekol mitzvos derabanan hinan gedar v'siyag v'daraisa. Most mitzvos derabanan are built off of some deraisa principle. Meaning what? K'mo l'mashal, Purim is built off of what mitzvah in the Torah? Destroy Amalek. Netilas Yadayim is built off of principles of Tum and Tar, which are in the Torah. Right? So then it makes sense that there's some element of making a brach on it. You come to Chanukah, what happens? Chanukah is the ultimate derabanan creation. Right? It's the ultimate praise for the rabbis that they can create a whole new thing. So therefore the Gemara asks over there, Maksha Heichan Sivanu. Right? Tell us, where is the source? Right? Chanukah becomes the ultimate in a mitzvah derabanan, and it becomes a very special mitzvah in that way. The Rambam writes, if you just jump to page 4 for a second, right? The Rambam, famous Rambam, Hilchos Chanukah, where the Rambam calls the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah a mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. So the Ur Gedal Yo wants to explain, based on the Shem Yishmo, you know, what is this lashon? Ner Chanukah is so precious, right? More precious than any other. I mean, the Rambam doesn't use this expression by anything else. The Rambam doesn't say Shabbos is so precious. What's so chaviv, what's so, right, so unique about Ner Chanukah that it gets this, you know, special praise by the Rambam? It's chaviva ad ma'od. Because of Rambam, mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. So because of Hashem Yishmuel, so Sakachav Rebbe explained that the Rambam's hinting to another statement in Chazal. Ki Rambam niskavin v'zeh l'mashad darshu Chazal tovim dodecha miyayin. Chaviv in divrei sofrim yosir miyena shel Torah. The words of our sages are even more chaviv than the words of the Torah. So when the Rambam, you know, invokes this word chaviva ad ma'od, what's he hinting to? He's saying this is, what's the chavivus here? What makes Ner Chanukah so special? It's that the rabbis have the ability to create something totally new. Right? It's the ultimate in Torah Shabbat Peh, which is, again, the Torah Shabbat Chsav can only be upheld if we have a Torah Shabbat Peh. That's exactly our point. As Jews, we can't function without our rabbis, without our great sages. They are our key to the Mesorah. And Chanukah becomes, you know, even amongst the mitzvos derabanan. If you read on in the pasuk, right, the pasuk that Chazal are darshaning to show that mitzvos derabanan are chashuv. What does it say? Tovim dodecha meyayin, l'reach shmanecha tovim. Saying that as good as, right, Tovim dodecha meyayin, mitzvos derabanan are better than the yayin, than the Torah itself, and the reach shmanecha, the shemen, is even sweeter. The best of the derabanans, the greatest derabanan you'll ever encounter, the thing that's the ultimate praise of the rabbis, as you stand lighting your menorah, think that this is, you know, this is the mitzvah that is the key to the Mesorah itself. And it keeps the Mesorah going. Alright, let's go to page 5 for a minute. A beautiful word from the Tiferes Shlomo, the Radamsky Rebbe. Right, and he shows us how the Gemara itself, by Chanukah, alludes to this concept. It's obviously a very chassidish of art, and it's usually explained a little differently than, I think, what he's really trying to say. But the Gemara asks, right, the Gemara in Shabbos gives a whole list of the halachas of Chanukah. And then the Gemara finally pauses and says, well, time out, my Chanukah, right, well, what is Chanukah? As if we don't know. The only other holiday I can think in haven't been through Shas. The only other place that stands out where, you know, when they talk about something and then they say, what is this thing, is by Tu B'Av. Right? And by Tu B'Av, the Gemara says, hold on, I never heard of this holiday. Right? So the Gemara says, well, what is Chanukah? And the Gemara says, Detanu Rabbanan, it quotes a Braisa, and it says, on the 25th of Kislev, right, there's 8 days of Chanukah. So it says the Tiferet Shlomo Radas. What was it? Stop reading. Read a little slower. What does it say? V'chein b'chanukah amru chazal, the Gemara asks the Shabbos, my chanukah, ditanu rabbanan, ayin sham. And the Gemara goes on, ditanu rabbanan, says in a braisa, the rabbis taught, and it goes on to explain what the rabbis taught. So says the Tiferet Shlomo, no, stop right there. Perish, sheshoa my chanukah, what's chanukah? Uma'in yonah, tell me the essence of chanukah. And what's the Gemara's answer? Ditanu rabbanan. Ditanu rabbanan, the rabbis taught? Right? Now, obviously, that's not the Pshat. The Gemara goes on to say what the rabbis taught. The rabbis taught that on the eight days of Hanukkah. But what's he saying on a deeper level? The Tanur Rabbanan. Zeh ikr mikavach haTorah, limu divri Rabbanan, sarasam. What is Hanukkah? In two words, Tanur Rabbanan. Usually it's explained, right, Hanukkah is very much connected to a time to recommit ourselves to Limud Torah. So usually they say, what's Hanukkah? The Tanur Rabbanan, sit and learn. And that's not really what he's saying. I think what he's really saying is, what is Hanukkah? The rabbis taught us something. The rabbis by themselves, they created something new. And that's what Yavon was so against. If you look in the Gemara always says that it's Yavon versus Malchus Beis Chashmonai. They didn't become Malachim, they didn't become kings so much later. So a lot of Sfarim ask, what is this Lashon Malchus Beis Chashmonai? They were fighting against, right, it's Yavon versus the Malchus. Right? So I thought you could say, just very simply, the Gemara in Gittin says, Man Malki, who are the kings? Who are our real kings? When we don't have real kings, who are our kings? Right? The Gemara says, Man Malki Rabbanan, the rabbis are our kings. So that was the whole fight. Yavon says, we're going to overthrow the rabbis. We don't like this concept that the rabbis have the ability to create something new, to create a new mitzvah, to control the world in a way that, okay, you want to tell me your Torah, maybe that has something. But certainly, by the time you get to the rabbis, enough. You Jews, you're always trying to push the boundaries of what's really, of reality. And this explains also why Hanukkah was never really written down. Right? If you think about it, there's no Megillah. We have a Megillah by Esther. There's no Megillah by Hanukkah. Even within the realm of Torah Shavuot Peh, it stayed very Torah Shavuot Peh. There's so little written about it. Why? What's the message? So you have to understand, the Hanukkah story takes place at the time that Nevuah was coming to an end. And you can imagine, with the end of Nevuah, the Jewish people feel like, where are we going to go from here? How are we going to be able to function? Who's going to guide us, right? The Navi was the one, he had the ability to see, right? He was called the Choza. He had the ability to understand things that other people couldn't understand. Where do we go once the Navi is lost? So says the B'nai Yisrael on page 9, he says, Hanukkah is the answer to that. You think it's all lost? You think there's no more Nevuah? I'll show you that there's something, there's a way to exist without Nevuah. We're not even going to have a Nevuah by Hanukkah. We're not going to write down a Sefer, right? It's not going to be one of the books of Navi. It's not going to be a book called Hanukkah. He says on page 9, says the B'nai Yisrael, who the B'nai Yisrael was described as the other tzaddikim of his time, as being the ultimate person who understood Hanukkah. And the Belzer Rebbe said, if you want to know who knew Hanukkah, if you ever want to understand the essence of Hanukkah, B'nai Yisrael's neshama was connected to Hanukkah. So we can trust him when he tells us what Hanukkah is about. He says, he asks this question, how come no one wrote down Hanukkah? Right? Where's the tradition? Why don't we have it written up in our books? Why not write it down like all the other Nisim? Because this miracle took place at the time Nevuah was coming to an end. And so we shouldn't think that all hope is lost. Where are we going to go from here? There's no one to guide us, there's no one to show us the way. Hashem made a nes, lahoros amalas haTorah she'adifa minavuah. Like the Gemara says in the Bava Basra, right? Chacham is adif minavi. We don't need Nevi'im as long as we stick to our Chachamim. If we reject our Chachamim, yeah, we're in big trouble. We're going to be, be dead in the water. But the power of Torah, the power of the Chachamim, is even greater than Nevuah. V'al-yada roa ha'isha yisraeli kol anestaros. We're not left in the dark. Right? It's dafka, the beginning of the time of light. The Hanukkah story took place in the year 213 of Bayis Sheni. How many more years of Bayis Sheni were left? How many years were left? Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years, according to Chazal. Right? And we're going to assume that Chazal were correct tonight. Especially tonight. We're not going to go into scholarship and try to challenge Chazal. Chazal say 420, that's it. No questions asked. Yeah, so Chazal say 420 years. So how many years are left after the... how many years are left from the Hanukkah story? 207 years. The Gematria of the Word. Or, right? It's dafka the beginning of the light. We think the Nevi'im are gone and now we're plunged into darkness. Last night I was sitting on the couch, I was plunged into darkness at 11:15. I'm sitting on the phone, getting ready to just start preparing the shiur, and all of a sudden the power goes out. So I have my cell phone as my flashlight, and my computer has about 5 minutes of battery left, and I was in a very dark state. I was getting the candles ready, and Baruch Hashem, power came right back on. So I was only out for about 15 minutes. But we think, there's no Navi. We're plunged into darkness. We're all alone. No, Dafka Chanukah, the aura of the Chachamim, is what guides us throughout the generations. Now, what happens if we don't have the Chachamim? Can we survive? Right? Is there a chance that obviously the Chachamim are very helpful, and the Chachamim deserve our respect. But can we function without them? Right? Is it fair to say that it's not the end of the world if we don't have them? So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz on page 11 in the Sichos Musar, based on a Medrash of Ayikra Rabba, he says if you don't have the Chachamim, you're dead. That's it. And what's the Medrash? Very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says it very clearly that we're nothing without our sages. We're absolutely nothing. It's not that we're lower functioning. We're dead. We're mamish dead. V'amru Chazal, Amr Rabbi Akiva Nimshul Yisrael La'of. The Jewish people are compared to a bird. Ma'of Hazeh Einu Pareach Belo Knafayim. Just as a bird can't fly without wings, Kach Yisrael Einam Yecholim Lasos Klum Chutz Zikneihem. Without our Zakenim, we cannot do Klum. We can't do anything. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz goes on to explain. He says, most animals, right? If you take an animal, so an animal that doesn't have wings can function without its wings. But if a bird were to lose its wings, it's dead, right? Once it depends on its wings to survive, it needs its wings to function properly. A dog without wings is okay; it can still be a dog. So he says, so too the umas ha'olam, the nations of the world, they can function without zakein, and they don't need talmid chachamim. They don't need leaders in the same way that we do to function. They never had it, and they don't need it. But we who need it, we're like this bird whose wings, if its wings are cut off, this bird is helpless. It becomes a very pathetic situation. And that's what he says. He says, without our chachamim, we're dead. We have nowhere to go. Right? In a practical sense, what does that mean? So, in the times of the Navi, how did the person find their tachlis in life? Right? I get this all the time in school. Guys say, Rebbe, how does a person know what their mission in this world is? We believe every person is on a unique mission. Amen ani li mili. Like the Chiddush Arim says, right? The Pasha Pshat and the Mishnah Nava. It's like, I'm not for myself, who's going to be for me? My avoda is 100% unique. There's no one in the world who could fill that avoda. So how do you find your tachlis? So the Gra writes in Mishlei, the Gra on page 12 in Mishlei, says that in the olden days you go to a Navi, and the Navi gets an avua, direct, right? A direct message from God. You are meant to do, right? You're deciding, should I major in this? Should I major in that? Should I go into chinuch? Should I go into business? Should I be a doctor? Right? Should I put my focus into Torah Shel Chasav or Torah Shel Peh? Right? I like learning Gemara. I prefer learning Halacha. How do I know what my purpose in this world is? Right? Should I spend more time on doing Kiruv and learn less for myself? So you go to the Navi, and the Navi tells you exactly what to do. Right? That's what the Gra says in Mishlei. On page 12. Everyone has their own unique path to walk in this world. No two people look alike, no two people think alike. No two are alike. When we had Nevi'im, what do? So we'd go to the Navi, go ask Hashem what I'm supposed to do. And Hashem would tell you exactly what you're supposed to do in this world. It's a great system. What happens? Now we don't have a Navi. So the Gra goes on to explain. He says Ruach HaKodesh was given to all of Klal Yisrael at that point. Anyone theoretically could tap into Ruach HaKodesh through Torah. But he says, who could say that they're on that level? Obviously, there are a select few who are on that level, right? And we turn to those who have the real Ruach HaKodesh to guide us. Right? The Ramban says in Bava Basra on Daf Yud Beis, he says when the Gemara says that Nevuah stopped, it means Nevuah as a Navi stopped, but Nevuah through Torah never stopped. Right? We turn to our Chachamim to guide us, and theoretically we could guide ourselves if we knew Torah deeply enough and we were free of sin. Like the Gra goes on to explain, I won't read it inside, but the Gra goes on to explain, if we were free of sin, we could do it on our own. But if not, right, we have to turn to our tzaddikim, we have to turn to our chacham to guide us. There's a maisa with the Beis Avram, the son of a Rebbe. The son of a Rebbe from Bnei Brak tells a story from one of the earlier Avram of Slonim, the Beis Avram. He says that a chassid once came to him and he said, I'm a chassid, but I don't have a Rebbe. So the Beis Avram said, no, so how do you guide yourself? He says, I read the, right, this is good mostly for myself, I read the Svarim, and I say, whatever sounds good, this sounds good, I take a little of this, and I'm a serious, I want to be serious in my avodas Hashem, and I'm interested in everything, and anything that's good, I'll take it. So the Beis Avram says, that's a crazy way to live your life. Why? He says, Lamashal, imagine a guy who goes into, right, he knows he's sick, and he wants to be healed. So what does he do? He goes and he takes every medicine, figuring that one of them is going to work. Right? That's very dangerous. It's a crazy way to live your life. So when you go around taking a little of this and a little of this and a little of this, right? There's a sakana. Eventually, you'll get the right medicine, but there's a big danger that you'll lose yourself. You know, you'll lose yourself along the way. Where do we go from here? The sources are a little jumbled tonight. Let's go to page 7 for a second. Right now, it's not really, you know, we shouldn't feel bad about this. We shouldn't really blame ourselves that we're stuck in this situation where we're so confused and we're so lost. I mean, the Torah says, lo sasur, right, do not stray from what the sages tell you, yaminu small. Don't go left, don't go right, don't stray to the left or to the right. Even if they tell you, Rashi says, even if they tell you the left is the right and the right is the left, we're very messed up. Why are we so messed up? It's a concept called Yiridas Hadoros. Right? As time goes on, we get more and more confused. That's just the way it is. How did this happen? So the Ben Ish Chai, I didn't label the source. On page 7, it's the Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Emor. I apologize to my father. The Ben Ish Chai on page 7 says that when Adam Arishon sinned, all the neshamos were plunged into this bucket of tumma. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz has this in one of his svarim also. Every neshama was thrown into this bucket of tumma. And you sit in that bucket of tumma until what? Until it's time for you to come to this world. Until your neshama is taken out of the filth, right, and brought to this world. So the more you sit there, right, tumma is a lashon of timtum. You get your heart gets clogged, you get confused. The later on you are in time, by definition, you're going to be more confused. We shouldn't feel bad about it. That's just the way it is. And that's what he says. The bechid adam arishon. Look by the arrow. The bechid adam arishon naflu kol neshamos besitra acha. We fell into the dark side. What does that mean? Ba'ar social nachash, the poison, the venom of the snake. Uvechol dor v'dor nilkatam neshamos min sitra acha ubalam lo'olam hazeh. And in every generation, a few neshamos get out of the dirt, right? And that's what Chazal say. In Rishonim Kabbalah, if the earlier generations were like angels, why are they on such a better level than us? Why do we have to be mevatel ourselves to those who are above us? Because they're one step less confused than we are. Even if they're not the biggest Talmidei Chacham in the world. I think that's one of our hang-ups nowadays. Right? We all want to have, if I had a Rebbe like the Gra, if I had a Rebbe like the Chafetz Chaim, then I'd do everything he said. But the Rebbeim nowadays, you know, they're not so special. They're not as big as the earlier generations. Right, and yet the Torah tells us you had to go to whoever the Kohen is in your time. Right, that's what the Torah says. All the Sfarim talk about it. Go to whoever your sage is. So if they got out one door earlier, that means they have one greater level of clarity than you do. And every neshama, the more you sit in there, he says at the end, right by the end of the bracket, he says you can't compare the Eino Domo Shokeya Bitsoa Yom the Shokeya Yomayim. You can't compare a person sitting in the dirt for one day to a person sitting there for 2 days. You're going to get more messed up. You're going to get more confused. And that's why the Torah says, even if they tell you your right is your left and your left is your right, and you can stand and scream at the top of your lungs, I swear you're wrong. I'm positive you're wrong. I know this is my right and I know this is my left. Right? I always have trouble with that. You know, how do you understand that? Right? How do you understand the Maamar Chazal? Some say that's not really what the Maamar Chazal was. Okay? But again, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to defend every Maamar Chazal as if it's Torah Misinai tonight. Right? So how do you understand that? They tell you your right is your left. And you know, this is definitely my right. There's no suffix by me. So how are we supposed to look at it? It's a hard question to answer. So on page 8, in the Sefer Nichusa Shel Torah, Ramosha Shmuel Shapiro Zatzel, not Ramosha Shapiro, Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, he gives a very nice mashal. He says, imagine two people standing opposite each other. Mashal Lamad Davar Dome, Le'echet She'omid Mochavero. Right? If I'm standing opposite you, my right is really my right, but to you it's the left. Right? When I stick out my right hand and I say, which side is that? You scream at the top of it, it's definitely left. And I say, it's definitely right. Right? So who's right? So we're both right based on our perspective. But the problem is, one of our perspectives is upside down. Right? And he says that's exactly what happens in our door. Right? We have to look at ourselves as if we're backwards, we're upside down. And that's why we have to be willing to say, you know, we're going to negate our Das to Das Torah. We can be very convinced that we're right. And it may, everything, right? And that's why it's such a hard thing for us to say, I'm willing to hear your way. I have to accept the fact that I've been sitting in filth and my brain is in a state of timtum. I'm totally and utterly confused and I don't know where to go with this. And I really think this is definitely one of the big struggles that our door, you know, as a door faces. I know for myself, it's something that I personally struggle with very much, to want to really listen to Chachamim and everything that they say. We all want to be our own Rav. so to speak, right? We like the pshat of the Sfas Emes in Pirkei Avos is on Aseh Lecha Rav. Aseh Lecha Rav, make yourself the Rav. What does it mean? It means you have to guard yourself and, you know, watch yourself. But we like to make ourselves the Rav. We're very comfortable being the Rav. Right? And it's good. It's important to have that sense of, right? You don't, the goal is not that you dumb yourself down to the point that you can't function. If Shimon Shkup was once asked for a piece of paper, so they handed him a piece of paper with lines on it. He says, "What is this? I don't need someone to tell me where to write. Just give me a blank piece of paper. Don't force me to write in between the lines. I'll write where I want to write." So the goal is not that I'm totally, you know, I'm totally trapped by my rav, that I can't function. I once wanted to say, maybe it's a kvir de kvar to say in this year, but a selach harav, it's a stalik min a suffik, right? I think those two sometimes go next to each other because not everything is a suffik. You don't have to call your rav. Should I buy a pair of shoes with black laces or yellow laces? I mean, whatever, you pick, you know, to stop bothering me. Right? Not everything has to be a suffik. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we're supposed to really be mevatel ourselves to the rav, whoever that is. And I think the Rambam helps us out a lot on page 14. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos on Aseh Lecha Rav says, you know, a Rav, again, we have this hang up that if I can't have the greatest Rav, who's a bucky in everything, and he knows people so well, and he's a sensitive person, right? We all want that perfect Rav as our Rav. The one who we believe he knows more Torah than everyone, and he does more chesed than everyone, and he, you know, he's the best at everything. Right? And it's not a reality in our times. But the Rambam says, you know what? There's another way to look at a Aseh Lecha Rav. And I'm bringing this source almost half jokingly, but it's a real musser for us. Right? Take a look at the fourth line. Look at the fourth line where it's boxed off on the left hand side. Where he says, Ki ein limud ha'adam me'atzo. Right? Ki ein limud ha'adam me'atzmo ki limudo mizulaso. You can't compare what you can learn on your own to what you can learn from someone else. Even if he's not the greatest Rav in the world. He's not the biggest, he's not the Vilnagon. He's not Rabbi Kiva Eger. Shalimud me'atzmo tovu, avalimudo mizulaso is kind biyado yoser. When you learn by yourself, it's good. The Ram says it is good. It has a place. Aseh Lecha Rav, like the Sfas Emes says, you could be your own Rav. At the same time, learning from someone else is better. Afilo, and he said, look what he says. Afilo hayu kamahu b'chachma, even if he's your equal in chachma, this is Aseh Lecha Rav. He can be someone you consider your equal, someone just to bounce the idea off of, just to have someone to talk. Olamata himenu, even someone who's lower than you can be your Rav. You know, so for a guy with dikador like our generation, like Mesilas Yesharim says in the 11th parak, you know, nowadays he says young talmidim who barely open their eyes think they know everything. I have this all the time in school. The guys won't even hear what I have to say. I don't know anything. The guys, I certainly know less, and they won't even hear. They have this. We know everything about Torah. We know we have all of Hashkafas Achayim worked out, and we're not willing to even hear what you have to say, right? You know, so that's how we are. So says the Rav, I'm fine, so that you can be like that, and you can still have a Aseh Lecha Rav. So have a Rav who's your equal, have a Rav who's even less than you. But have someone to at least bounce the ideas off of. Alright, I'll end with two final points. One, I guess, Mitzad Sur Meira, and one Aseh Tov. Okay, Mitzad the Sur Meira, you know, I think to strengthen ourselves in this area, it's important to just realize what happens when a person messes with a Rav. Right? Again, not to say negative. We'll end with the Aseh Tov, the power of the Rav Mitzad good. But you know, if you mess with the Rav, sometimes you get yourself into some hot water. The Chafetz Chaim on page 16 warns us about a person who even touches. You know, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, right? Be careful with the words of the sages because they're hot like a coal and their bite is like a venomous bite, right? So you know, if a person touched fire. Person stuck his hand into fire, and his hand got burned. When you say it's a punishment, it's not a punishment. You touch fire, you're going to get burned. So it's the same thing with the rabbis, right? It's not that the Torah says if you mess with the rabbis, you're going to get punishment. But you get a punishment. You're going to be punished for it, right? So see, if you're touching fire, you're touching a person whose embodiment who is the embodiment of Torah, which is Eish, and you're going to get burned. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in Parshas Yisro, "Kol nogeya bahar musumaz." Anyone who touches the mountain is going to die. You touch our leaders, you're going to die. Umaya mahar she'ein bodas. If you touch a mountain, the mountain that the Torah is given on, ve'einenu margish klum. The mountain has no feelings. And yet, the fact that the Torah was given on such a mountain, the mountain becomes so holy that if you touch it, you get burnt. So says the Chafetz Chaim, right? If you touch the Talmud Chacham himself, a living embodiment of Torah, shelamed es haTorah gufa, right? It's not just a mountain. Sheish bo das u'margish ve'elbon. If you shame a Talmud Chacham, chas v'shalom. Imagine what type of price you're going to pay, right? If you mess with the Talmid Chacham, you're going to get burnt. And I'll tell you a few quick stories just to highlight this idea. In one of the biographies of the The Gaon of Posen, it's called. It's a biography, an English biography on Rabbi Akiva Eger. So on page 76, it tells the following story. It says, a man once came to, a guy was schlepped to Rabbi Akiva Eger. He refused to give his wife a get. So he brought him to the base of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger tried to, you know, convince him in nice words, give your wife a get, it's the right thing to do, don't hold out. It's a poor woman, let her go, you know, you're not married and you're not happily married, just let it go. So the guy says, absolutely not, I don't know even why I came here, I don't want to hear what you have to say, I'm not interested in what what you have to say about this issue. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, listen, it's a Mishnah in Kedushin. The Mishnah says that a woman goes free from her husband in one of two ways. Either beget, you give her a get, or b'misas habayim, with the death of the husband. Right? So the guy says, yeah, what's your point? He says, I'm just telling you, I just want you to be aware that a woman is freed from her husband to marry someone else either by giving her a get or with the death of her husband. So the guy says, what's your point, Rabbi? He said, you just understand, there are only two options to free your wife, either a get or misas habayim. And the guy storms out of Rabbi Akiva Eger's base medrash, and he slips on the steps and dies. He breaks his neck and dies on the spot. And the imam should carried him out of there, on the spot. You know? So, we think if you touch the fire, you're going to get burnt. I'll tell you another story. Another crazy maisa I once read in a newspaper, a Jewish newspaper. A maisa with the Maharam Sheik. The Maharam Sheik was once officiating, it was a very affluent fellow whose son was getting married, and the Maharam Sheik was asked to be the Masada Kedushin, and from government pressure, because this guy was a big hotshot, he had no choice but to do it. For whatever reason, this son decided, I'm not wearing a kittel at the chasana. I don't need to wear a kittel. The Maharam Sheik says, you have to wear, what do you mean, you have to wear a kittel? I'm not a Masada Kedushin unless you wear a kittel. And this guy was very chutz when he said, I'm not wearing a kittel. So Maharam Sheik said, listen, people wear kittels usually on two occasions. You wear a kittel when you're at your wedding, you wear a kittel when you die, when they bury you. Right? He says, you choose. He says, you don't scare me. Don't threaten me. I'm from the new generation. Right? The government's got my bag. The government forced the Maharam Sheik to officiate at the wedding. And within a short period of time afterward, needless to say, the guy died. And within the year, his wife died. So you touch the fire, you're going to get burnt. Right? I'll tell you one final story. The Marsham. The Marsham, brought down in the Tchilas Mordechai of the Marsham. There were a group of barbers who were influenced by the non-Jewish barbers, and they were working on Shabbos. They weren't the most religious guys, but the Marsham thought it was a terrible thing that, you know, here in this nice Jewish town, you have these guys, they're working on Shabbos, because everyone's trying to get ahead. So he went to them and he said, listen, guys, you know, he spoke to them from a mamish, from the depths of his heart, he begged them, please don't work on Shabbos. They said, We'll think about it. Most of them were willing to think about it. One of the guys said, listen, if you can get everyone to agree, if no one's going to get ahead on Saturday, so then we'll all not work. So he said, he took out a document, everyone signed except for one guy. One guy said, I'm not going to sign. So the other guy said, listen, if this guy doesn't sign, then we're working on Shabbos. We're not going to let this guy get all the business on Shabbos. And Marsham begged him from the depths of his heart. He said, please, you know, please. And the guy says, no. He says, listen. He says, you know, if you're going to get the Shemayim involved, if God's going to get involved, you know, God forbid, he has ways to take care of you. They're not even going to be able to work during the week. So, you know, I'm begging you. Sign. And the guy took off. He ran down the block. He said, no, I'm not listening to you. Right? Okay. All the other barbers said, okay, you know, I guess we're working on Shabbos then. So everyone starts to head out. And they're all heading, a couple guys are heading off in that direction. And they see the guy down the block coming back. Ah, you know. And they say, what happened? He said, I fell, I slipped, and I broke my, you know, I think I broke my wrist. Right? Immediately, he got the message, they all came back, they all signed the document, and no one ended up working on Shabbos. But again, you know, you see these mices, if a person wants to play games with Talmid Chachamim, you're not going to listen to the advice of the Talmid Chachamim. So you're messing with fire. Right? There's actually one other just cute story I saw, with Avram ben Agra. Right, he wrote Hagos on a sefer called Sifsei Yeshanim. So he writes in there that Rashi used to live across from a church. And there was a church bell that used to go off all the time. It was disturbing Rashi in his learning. So he went across the street a couple times and said to the nice, you know, priest, he says, you know, do you think you can keep it down a little bit? And the guy wasn't so interested in cooperating. And needless to say, miraculously, they bring down that the bell, you know, the bell seems to stop working on its own. For whatever reason, the ringer wasn't functioning after that. So again, that's all mitzad sur meira. Just to end mitzad ase tov, right, the power of the chum for the good, I'll just tell it to you outside on page 15 if you want to look at that at your own leisure. The Gemara says in Yevamos that if a guy is drowning at sea, if a guy is swept out to sea, an ocean that has no, you know, foreseeable end, so his wife is not permitted to remarry. Why? Chances are the guy is dead, right? Chances are the guy is dead. He swept out to the ocean. What are the odds that he survived? So we assume that maybe there's a chance he survived, right? What's the pshat in this whole maisa? So the question was asked, right? Why were Chazal so strict about him? And again, the chances are that he's dead. So they told us Yaakov Yosef, this is from the Hema Yenachemuni, who's the Hema Yenachemuni? The Tolna Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes from the Tolna Yaakov Yosef, the great disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, that if the rabbis were to say that he's dead, right, chances are he is dead, but if they would paskin that he's dead, then he would die. He would have to die. The psak of the Chachamim, when they have the ability to create, like we said all along, you know, the whole idea of Hanukkah, they created Hanukkah. When they paskin something, they create new existence. And if you get a bracha from a Talmud Chacham, right, so that creates a new existence. There was a guy who was suffering from terrible ulcers. So he went to the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz of Rebbe, and he says, you know, give me some advice, Rebbe. So he says, drink vinegar. Drink vinegar? I have ulcer problems, drink vinegar? Drink vinegar. The guy drinks vinegar and he gets better. So he has a friend who is suffering a similar, you know, ailment. And he goes, he hears from his friend, he says, you know, how'd you get better? He says, I drank vinegar. So the guy starts drinking vinegar, and needless to say, it gets a lot worse. So he goes to the Divrei Chaim, and he says, you know, Rebbe, I'm in terrible pain. He says, you know, have you tried any treatment for this? He said, I drank vinegar. So Divrei Chaim looks at him and says, you drink vinegar? Why would you drink vinegar? He says, someone told me you're supposed to drink vinegar. He says, Rebbe, what would you recommend? He says, I would recommend that you drink vinegar. Right? So then he goes and he drinks vinegar and it works. So he came back to Rebbe and says, I don't understand. I heard b'shem that you're supposed to drink vinegar if you have this ulcer problem. Why? How come it didn't work the first time? He says, it only works when I command it to work. Right? Vinegar naturally, until the Chacham declares it, until he speaks it, it doesn't have a kiyum. It doesn't take effect. Okay, I'll end with one final source. Just on the back page, on page 18. And I think it really sums it all up. Now there's a famous question, a stira in the Gemara, is between the Gemara in Kedushin and the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos seems to say that how foolish are people that they stand up for a Torah, but they don't stand up for Talmid Chachamim. On the other hand, you have a Gemara in Kedushin that says, if you stand up for those who learn it, all the more so you should stand up for the Torah. So which one's really greater? Is the Torah greater? Right? Meaning, again, the Gemara in Makos says, you're foolish if you stand up for the Torah, but you don't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. Right? And the Gemara in Kedushin seems to say, well, if you stand up for the Talmud Chacham, all the more so you stand up for the source, you stand up for the Torah. It's a famous question, and there's different ways to answer it. But I think this story about the Netziv, found in the Sefer Shimush Chacham, says it all. The story is told, we'll read it inside. It's worth reading one last story inside. We'll start from the third paragraph. Pamachas. Pamachas kasher Rabbeinu HaNetziv Mivalajin, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the famous Netziv, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Valajin Yeshiva, Nasa B'yado HaSefer Torah. He was walking with the Sefer Torah, Alicho Eitzel HaBima. He's carrying it to the Bima. Nitka Lefesa Be'echad Misafsali Be'Midrasha. All of a sudden, his foot got stuck on one of the benches of the Beis Medrash. Uvitarim Olo B'yado Lihilachetz Min HaMetzer. Before he could pull his foot out, he was still moving forward. Right? Kvar Matzah Asa Mutal Arsa. He found himself lying on the floor. Hu V'Sefer Torah B'tzido. The Netziv was down, the Sefer Torah was down. Terrible situation. Chish mehera, nechlatzu ha'omdim shama lahagbiya Sefer Torah v'asa Netziv me'agabiya karka. Everyone quickly was going to run to pick up the Netziv, to pick up the Torah. Ach ad shalo higbiyim, before either of them were picked up off the floor, kfar nishma kolosh or Rabbeinu Agon Rav Itzel V'lajner. Right? Rav Itzel V'lajner, chosno shal Netziv. The chosen of the Netziv, the son-in-law of the Netziv, cried out at that moment. He says, "Hold on, pause, everyone, one second. La'rim tchila es Rav Hirsch Leib. First, pick up the Netziv, va'achar kach ha'sefer Torah. Make sure we do it in the right order, because we have to recognize that the Netziv, as great as the Torah is, as great as we all would, you know, we can imagine how everyone would freeze in their place and be so their heart would just drop when they see the sefer Torah at the floor. All the more so if a Talmud Chacham were to fall. All the more so he's the living embodiment of Torah, and all the more so we have to, you know, pick him up first." So, you know, I hope that this is mechazik us in this inyan. It's definitely, again, it's a difficult inyan in our door. People don't want to be mevatel themselves and be told what to do. But it's a very important inyan to be mevatel ourselves and to listen to the advice of the avos, of the talmidei chachamim. And again, this is really what Chanukah is all about. To recognize that the chacham have the ability to be koveya a holiday, to create a yom tov, on chol, a weekday holiday, that has a tremendous koch to carry us, the Chanukah we know, carries us to Mashiach. So mir tashem, in the merit of listening to Talmidei Chachamim and accepting the words as a mitzvah shel Torah, we should be zochet to see Mashiach from here and be aminu.